This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump raised tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from 25 to 50%. They go into effect midnight tonight. That hike could impact prices on everything from large appliances and cars to cans of food at grocery stores. It comes as the White House says trade talks on reciprocal tariffs are ongoing. Press Secretary Caroline Levin.
USTR sent this letter to all of our trading partners just to give them a friendly reminder that the deadline is coming up. And they are in talks, Ambassador Greer, Secretary Bessent, and Secretary Lutnick are in talks with many of our key trading partners around the globe.
Homeland Security says the wife and children of the suspect in the Boulder flamethrower attack at a Jewish rally Sunday has been taken into custody and are now being investigated. The FBI's annual active shooter incidents report shows in 2024 there was a 50% drop in active shooting incidents across the country. The report shows there were 24 active shooting incidents last year compared to 48 in 2023. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A proposed fee increase could affect La Crosse property owners later this year. The Stormwater Utility is proposing an increase of nearly $10 per month on an average bill to help pay for operating costs and capital projects. A second proposal would then add a 22% fee increase for January 1st and annual 3% increases to account for inflation for the 3 years after that. The proposals passed the Board of Public Works Monday. If they pass the Finance and Personnel Committee Thursday, they would then go to the full Common Council next week. With the Black Hawk Bridge that connects Wisconsin to Iowa closed indefinitely, DOT officials in Iowa and Wisconsin announced free water taxi services will begin on June 4th. Otherwise, people can cross the Mississippi River at La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. The 94-year-old bridge was closed on May 17th after a pier moved. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. The DOT said it hasn't finalized any repair or reopening plans for the old bridge. A replacement bridge is scheduled to open in 2027. Gas prices fell this week locally and across Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.96 today. This is 1.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 36 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say while the rest of the nation has seen a gentle descent in prices, the Great Lakes region has seen notable declines after a minor refinery issue was resolved.
Here in La Crosse, the average price for gas has stayed just under the statewide average, currently sitting at about $2.96 per gallon. In addition to expected rain showers that will bring a half inch to an inch of rain across the Cooley region before midnight, air quality is a concern due to smoke from Canadian wildfires. Once the rain clears out overnight, we'll be back to sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s Wednesday. There are chances of scattered showers and storms through the weekend, but highs will stay in the 70s for the next several days. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers back in practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers OTAs continue here at Lambeau Field. Anthony Belton is the Packers' second-round pick out of NC State, competing for a spot on the offensive line. I asked him if he's been more nervous or excited to be in the NFL.
It's a little bit of both, because, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you're in a new environment around people you're not really too familiar with, but also it's like you're excited because this is what you've been wanting to do since you was a kid, a lifelong dream. You get a chance to keep playing the game you've been loving since a kid. It's like, it's a blessing. But you're going to be nervous at first a little bit.
Baseball, the Brewers and Reds series continues tonight in Cincinnati. Milwaukee winning 3-2 last night, thanks to another home run by Christian Yelich, named National League Player of the Week. Yelich, hit by a pitch Sunday, still managed to hit his sixth home run in the past 10 games.
He crushed two balls tonight that, you know, sore hand or not, he's living up to his Player of the Week, you know, outstanding.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening, a cloudy sky overnight with areas of smoke, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs upper 70s. Increasing clouds Thursday, another chance of showers. Highs upper 70s. It's 60 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Cynthia Eifert, retired career Foreign Service officer. We talk about the higher obligations of public servants and why what Trump is doing falls so far short.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen of Wisconsin and the world, it's great to have you here tonight on a blustery, if I can quote Winnie the Pooh or Christopher Robbins, a blustery day here in Northeast Wisconsin. And it was blustery in Madison today, where I started out the day. Got rained on. I don't know what is going on, but we are having some weather in this state. Hope you're staying dry and out of the wind for the moment and listening to the radio and Nightlight. It's great to have you. Welcome to the show. Great show tonight. Great guests. A good question. Lots of chances for you guys to weigh in. We're going to follow this up with a great show we had last night from Madison, which was always fun doing the show over State Street and back here on the home court tonight. Conrad, how's it going?
I'm wearing pants tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the first thing I checked. So thanks for going the extra mile.
Yeah, of course.
So we have... Boy, there's a lot going on tonight. I don't even know where to start. So I'll start by saying Happy Pride Month, first of all. I don't think I said that last night because I was out of my element in Manhattan.
Wow.
Doing the show from Manhattan last night.
That was a big commute.
It was a big commute. I barely made it here in time. From Madison, of course. So Happy Pride Month, everybody. I know Civic Media had a great presence at the Pride Parade the other day, I think in Milwaukee and around the state. So that's exciting. And we've got, let's do this first, too, because it's June 3rd. This contest just started yesterday. It's the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest. Our text contests are so much fun here at Civic Media, so you guys have to partake in this. They keep getting more and more popular, and there's a lot of winners. That's the cool thing. Like, here's what all you need. All you need is the Civic Media app. Then you listen at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. Get the keyword and text it in on the text line, or not on the text. I'm sorry. The text line is not the app. That's a different thing, Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I just figured that out a year and a half in. And then just text in via the app what the keyword is, and you are entered to win an hourly prize and a grand prize. And our hourly prizes include $100 cash and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. And that's every hour. And once you enter for the hour, you are enrolled in the grand prize drawing as well. What is the grand prize drawing? That's like at the end of the contest, right?
Yes.
And yep. Everybody who plays hourly has a chance to win the grand prize. And there are two really cool grand prizes. A trip to Door County right down the road here. I would probably opt for that. I'm a huge Door County fan. But Baraboo, Wisconsin, very, very beautiful part of the state as well. So the grand prizes are Wisconsin summer vacations in Door County and in Baraboo, Wisconsin, with gas money to get you there. That adds up. Four daily chances to enter beginning yesterday, Monday, June 2nd, and it goes through June 13th. So make sure you play, folks. It's so much fun, and good luck. Hope you guys come away. I hope everybody wins. I know that's not possible, but we're all winners. So I had I was leaving today. I did some work at PBS Wisconsin today, and the last two times I went out in Madison, I got horribly sunburned. So today, in Vilas Hall, which has no windows, and it's just like a probably weighs as much as the earth. It's like this huge stone structure. I think they built it in the 60s to make it bomb-proof with all the protests. So I can't see. So I'm slathering on sunblock. And do you use sunblock?
I don't use like the lotion stuff. I just spray it on real quick and call it all good.
Today I did the spray. The lotion works better, I'm told, but I sprayed the living daylights out of my neck, my face, my arms. And I'm like, all right, at least I got fair skin. I walk outside, pouring rain. And now I'm walking around in this mess and I'm getting rained on. It's like a sunblock rain gross mixture all over. It's going down my shirt. And I know there are people with real problems in the world, folks, but this set me back. It's like, and I thought about when I went outside was, this is so Schwabba. Yes. Remember your sunblock and then get rained on.
It's so cobbler.
So cobbler. PGC. And then this happened. Okay, this was interesting. Last night, I'm in my hotel room in Madison, and I call the wrong number. And the number calls me back. Do you answer that call?
Well, do you think that it's someone like...
It's I don't know who it is. I made the mistake. I caught myself and I hung up and they called back. And all I can think about is how bored is this person? Like if somebody called me on a number and I didn't recognize it and they didn't leave a message or hung up, I would not call them back unless I was just so bored with my life. Hey, who is this? Hey, what's going on? Why'd you call me? Who are you?
I didn't think of, is this was your cell phone, not the phone that was provided with the hotel?
No, cell phone.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten a call in a hotel room in 30 years. I don't know what's
going
on. I'm
saying if you get a call from the hotel phone, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, well, that I might answer just because who in the hell is calling me here unless it's an emergency? Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen with that.
But you're not calling that number back, are you?
No, definitely not.
And if they don't, I don't even, 90% of the people that leave messages, I don't even call back because it's like, Mr. Schwabba, your loan has been approved. I'm like,
okay. For what?
It's urgent. We hear back from you. I don't care. Stop calling me. I don't have a loan with you. But it's nice to be approved. So anyway, that was kind of weird. Hey, I think it's time, Conrad, but we got to get to our question of the night. We got a good one.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What city? What is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? And if the one you live in is not your favorite Wisconsin city, just tell us your favorite Wisconsin city. What is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? You cannot, you can't count that one. And our question tonight is inspired by this study they did in U.S. News and World Report. They ranked 250 of the top places to live in the country, and 9 Wisconsin cities made it. That's pretty good. That's like, what is that, like 10? I think we're above average. Wisconsin with the livable cities. I'm not good enough. I tried to figure that out on the air and I'm not good enough at math to go 9 cities out of 250. Well, let's say if there were 500 cities and we had 18, that would be 20%. That's about 4%. So Wisconsin has roughly 4% of the best of the top 250 places to live in the country. And this came out late last week. Here's how each city in Wisconsin was ranked from highest placement to lowest. Eau Claire was ranked the highest at 49th. That surprise you?
I thought we would have one a little higher, to be honest.
Well, I thought that too. And Eau Claire's great, but I'm surprised it wasn't like, Madison or Appleton is second. All right, here, let me get through the list. Eau Claire was 49th. Appleton was 53rd. This is out of 250 best places to live in America. So Eau Claire's 49th, Appleton's 53rd, Waukesha 87th, Oshkosh, Todd Michaels, if you're listening, 114th, Wausau, Brittany Merlot, if you're listening, 125th, Green Bay, Conrad, if you're listening, and you better be.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should.
170th. Sheboygan, 185, Janesville, 186, and Kenosha, 214th. No Milwaukee, no Madison.
You know,
there must have been a criteria for the size, right?
I'm confused because there, I mean, a couple years ago, I think like two years ago, Green Bay was like number one place to live. Yeah. What happened though?
There was a criteria for that.
Okay. So it's all criteria based.
Yes. For more information on how we rank. And this must have been Traverse City is 250th. That's weird. That's a gorgeous area.
So what was number one?
You're going to make me scroll.
Sorry.
That's all right. I don't have it here. It's like one of those websites where you have to keep clicking. So I don't know.
Okay.
And if I was a real journalist, I would have looked that up before I came on the air, but I didn't. All I will say is Skokie, Illinois, 230th. Our neighbors to the south, Grand Island, Nebraska, 229. Nashville. Oh, Nashville's a big city. 228. That surprised me. So there you go. So that's our question tonight, folks. Let us know. What is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? Tell us. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can message us there too. All kinds of ways to get a hold of us. Just please get a hold of us and be part of the show. My guests tonight include the wonderful Rob Thomas. He is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison editor. And I'm getting addicted to this CityCast publication. They put out so many cool things about the Madison area. I know we have a ton of listeners in Madison. So Rob is going to come on. He's going to talk about some cool new films he saw, and we're going to tell you about toxic traits in Madison. The whole staff did this podcast, and they listed their traits about Madison they don't like. So we'll talk about that with Rob. And then at 7:20, our pal Todd Michaels, who is the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW in the morning. Todd is also a paranormal investigator, and he's going to come on tonight to talk to us about lake monsters and vampires. And a flight that disappeared, if we have time to get to that. So lots of fun tonight on Nightlight. Let us know your answer to the question. And we have a phone call, Conrad?
Yes, Cindy from Appleton.
Cindy from Appleton. How are
you? Hey, Pete, how are you? I'm good.
Doing great here, too. Thanks for the call. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if Bayfield is a city or a village, but Bayfield's one of my faves.
You know, I'm kind of ashamed. Pardon me. I'm kind of ashamed. I've never been to Bayfield, and all I hear is amazing stuff about the natural beauty in Bayfield and how gorgeous it is. So I have to get up there. So you've been there, obviously.
Oh, yeah, many times. I love it up there. I haven't been up there for a while, but I used to, when I was a little younger, spend a lot of time up there. So
okay. Yep. So how far of a drive is that, Cindy, from where you are in Appleton to Bayfield?
Well, when I go up to Bayfield from Appleton, it takes me a good 5 hours.
5 hours? Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. But worth a drive, obviously, right?
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Cindy, thank you for the call. Have a great night.
Yep.
All right.
You too. Thanks.
You're very welcome. All right, so that's good. We got. What would you say, Con? I don't even know.
You know,
I think I know.
I was going to say some city in Door County, but I think I'll go back to a little bit of my roots. And I really like the village of Dundee. I don't know if it's a village or whatever it's called, but It's close to Kewaskum around that area, and it's right by like Kettle Moraine.
Okay. Oh, that's a beautiful area.
And Long Lake is right there.
Okay.
Comfort food. You got the Hamburger House, and then you got the Tiki Bar Resort or something like that, Beach Resort, and that's on the Kettle Moraine Lake too.
Gosh, what do you want, like the Welcome Wagon or something? That's a lot of info.
That's
awesome.
I always go back there in the summer and visit. Because I got friends back in Kewaskum. We go out to the beach resort, have a couple drinks, and then go to the Hamburger House and eat some comfort food.
I'm gonna say City Madison. But I got to put Door County in there too, and I'll figure out my city. Maybe Egg Harbor. I'm going to say Egg Harbor, Door County, Indoor County, or Madison. Those are my two faves. But let us know what your favorite, what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We read your text next, and I play a really cool clip on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch.
Well, what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? Tonight's question is inspired by a list that came out from U.S. News and World Report that ranked 9 Wisconsin cities in the top 250 best places to live in the country, according to U.S. News and World Report. Here is how each city was ranked. In Wisconsin, Eau Claire was 49th, Appleton 53rd, Waukesha 87th, Oshkosh 114, Wausau 125th, Green Bay 170. You're right, Green Bay. I mean, that was a separate report, but to go from number one to 170, what the hell happened here? The draft, I guess. I don't know. But I thought it came out okay. Sheboygan 185th, Janesville 186th, and Kenosha 214th. My favorite, I think I would say Madison, but I also like Egg Harbor. And I'm totally choosing that randomly. In Door County, because I like Sister Bay, Fish Creek. They're all great. Ephraim. Conrad said Dundee, Wisconsin.
Yes, I did.
I have not heard of. That's kind of cool. So let us know what you guys think. On the we posted the question today on social media. Mike Desitel on Facebook says, Pine Lake, home of Rocktoberfest, which is I thought when I picked Pine Lake as the town name in Wisconsin for the movie, in my movie, The Godfather of Green Bay, I thought it was a fictional town. I guess there actually is a Pine Lake, Wisconsin. So, but Mike says, home of Rocktoberfest. It certainly was in the movie. Sarah Jean says, recently I've been enjoying Waupaca. In the last year, there is a record store that opened Back to Vinyl, Waupaca. On my last trip there, I explored some of the other shops as well. Super cute area and only an hour-ish drive from me from Green Bay. Have you ever been to Waupaca?
I think once. I don't know. It wasn't memorable for me, though, I'd say.
There's a lot of lakes. My wife's family had a cottage there. And I guess the water, she always describes, like, you could see the bottom of the lake in, like, 8 feet of water.
Oh,
it was very clean.
That's awesome.
So I've only been there a couple times, but beautiful area. Matt Harper, rock rap artist. Matt Harper, we got to get Matt back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Is it about time?
It's about time. How long has it been?
Okay. Matt says Milwaukee. Not a big surprise for a rock rap artist. Thank you, Matt. Daniel Wheeler says, the town of Lily, small on a map, but big in my heart. My grandparents' cottage was there, surrounded by pine trees, perched on a hill above the copper-colored waters of the Wolf River. Daniel is stealing my heart right now, Conrad, with his whimsical writing style. He says, endless exploration for my brothers and I. Great text, Daniel. Thank you. Layman Rob says, Kewaunee, a city on Lake Michigan. Have you been to Algoma?
Yeah,
I've never been there. That looks gorgeous, though. It's right on, it's on the actual lake, not the bay, and it looks very picturesque.
Yeah.
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 I got to check that out. That's on my list. That and Bayfield. Monica Hale says, Bayfield, another vote for Bayfield. I had one of the most relaxing vacations of my life there, and the view of Lake Superior from the hotel was amazing. All right, that's definitely on my list. So keep those texts coming, folks. We'll go to the text line here and start with Sydney from Oregon. Sydney from Oregon also says, definitely Bayfield, Wisconsin. Bayfield's rocking it tonight. Ed from Madison says, Milwaukee and Spring Green. Well done, Ed. Spring Green, only been there a couple times.
House on the Rock?
Yeah, another gorgeous area of our state. Rain from the 920 says, Hewley. Where's that?
I'm going to have to go to the Google.
Go to the Google for Dave's, too, on the Streamline. I don't know where that is, but that was interesting. I never even heard of that city that Dave mentioned, but we'll read that one soon, too. Al from Madison says, Sister Bay. I'm with you, Al. Gorgeous Door County. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Pittsville, the geographic center of the state. Its name says it all. Pittsville, yes. I assume it's beautiful, but based on its name, it sounds like it's not. But that's Tyler. Tyler's got cheeky texts. I've been watching a British show called Line of Duty lately, so I'm starting to talk like a Brit. And I think Tyler's texts have been very cheeky. Tori from Kewaunee says, Frog Station, which soon will be everyone's favorite city as soon as Mino opens the abandoned bar. I don't know about that. You produce the morning show sometimes. What's going on there? Mino opening a bar?
I guess so.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah. I didn't know if he was. I didn't know he was getting into the bar business.
Why not? Mino should open a bar. He knows everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's,
yeah,
that's the guy who should open a bar. Anna from Madison, she's in the 608. Says, "Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Wisconsin city is Sister Bay. I love Door County. I would say right now we are in a runoff between Sister Bay and Bayfield. Right?
Yeah. I would say Bayfield." And just, yeah.
Steve from Florida says, if I had a place in Wisconsin that would be my favorite would be Northern Door County, Washington Island. Steve goes even farther north. So we are all caught up on the text line. Sarah Jean on the stream says, hey, sorry, I missed it. When are you dishing out the code word tonight? Sarah Jean, you can tune in at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. for the keyword. We don't give it out on this show. The contest is not eligible during Nightlight, but good luck tomorrow. Definitely play. And thanks for reaching out. Dave says, Paoli. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I pulled it up on Google. It looks beautiful. It looks like it's down by Kettle Moraine.
Oh, okay.
And it looks like some sort of historic village. Very nice. Thank you, Dave. Hey, we have time to play that clip?
The
Dana Carvey.
No, not.
Oh, come on, Conrad. You're killing me.
Sorry.
Well, that's all right. How long is it? It's like a minute.
Minute 30.
All right, I'll have to save some time. Coming up in just a few minutes, folks, our pal Rob Thomas. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. They do some really cool stuff. I love that little rag, as they call it. And we'll talk about some movies, too. Rob has some new movies he's reviewed on his Substack, one of which I've never heard of. So we'll talk to Rob about that and what's going on in Madison, including the city's toxic traits. I wish I'd known that. I was just there last night, and I have to admit, nothing really look toxic. I love Madison. And it's good to be home in Green Bay. And Conrad is wearing pants. All is right in the world. Welcome to Nightlight, folks. We have a really fun show. Weigh in with your thoughts and your favorite Wisconsin cities. Text us your thoughts throughout the show. always more fun when you guys are part of the show. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. She took my arm.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The Wisconsin DNR has issued an air quality advisory for western Wisconsin today. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Heavy surface smoke is moving into Wisconsin from the northwest. Air quality is unhealthy, and we could see spikes of very unhealthy as the front moves slowly from the northwest to southeast throughout the day. The DNR recommends going inside if you experience symptoms. The DNR advises everyone to keep outdoor activities shorter and less intense.
An air quality advisory will last until noon tomorrow. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden made appearances in the La Crosse area this weekend and spoke about his support for the recently passed House bill that includes a federal budget. Van Orden said that the bill does not cut services such as Medicaid for anyone who is lawfully entitled to them. In his newsletter, Van Orden claimed the bill cuts $1.5 trillion in federal government waste, fraud, and abuse. The Congressional Budget Office said that between 8 and 14 million people would lose Medicaid coverage if the bill is signed into law. In La Crosse City government, the Judiciary and Administration Committee will consider a pair of ordinances tonight that will allow the School District of La Crosse to move forward with its plans to expand State Road Elementary School and build a new elementary school at the Hogan Administrative Site. Those plans were approved by the City Plan Commission already. On Thursday, the Finance and Personnel Committee will consider a pair of fee increases proposed by the Stormwater Utility to cover the cost of capital projects and inflation. This week's State High School Track and Field Championships will be held at UW La Crosse Friday and Saturday. The event, which has been held in La Crosse since 1990, draws an average of nearly 20,000 attendees over the two-day event. According to city officials, the event provides a nearly $4 million economic impact to La Crosse. Also, Highway 16 is under construction, so visitors to the state meet are advised to take alternate routes. You can find more information, including participants, directions, and more on the WIAA's website. UW La Crosse and the WIAA have an agreement in place to keep the event in western Wisconsin through next year. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Mark Hamill is done, as Luke Skywalker, that is. The actor says no one should ever expect him to appear as Luke Skywalker again, in any way, shape, or form. Deadline reports that Hamill says the franchise should rely on new faces. He last appeared as Luke Skywalker as a mentor to Daisy Ridley's character Rey in The Last Jedi. He's probably serious, but as we've learned, a Jedi never really dies. Just 5 days until you can purchase Bathwater Bliss, also known as the Sydney Sweeney-inspired soap. What inspired it? The fact that there is a market for men who want soap that smells like her bathwater. Sweeney says it's a way to connect with her pre-vert fans, and let's be honest, it's a lot more intimate than an autograph. I'm not really sure whether or not the soap will get you clean, but I doubt her patrons are concerned about that. Sweeney, on the other hand, might be the cleanest person in the world, because if the soap sells like hotcakes, she'll be in the tub around the clock.
Mmm, hotcakes.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening, a cloudy sky overnight with areas of smoke, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs upper 70s. Increasing clouds Thursday, another chance of showers. Highs upper 70s. It's 60 right now.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, will join us. Also, film credits in Wisconsin and making movies here. Nathan Deming is our guest. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Every time I think of you, I feel shot right through and above all good. It's no problem of mine, but it's a problem I find.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. Is it weird that it already feels like Thursday?
I don't know, because last week was a short week, so, you know, maybe
so
that's
seems
why.
Like a long way. I feel like I've already done 8 shows this week. Maybe it was the drive or something. I don't know. So we will we'll read your text coming up soon, folks. I did look up that Paoli, and it's a gorgeous little historic town, and it says 12 miles from downtown Madison. I've never even heard of it, but it looks beautiful. All right, keep those answers coming, or those questions coming. I'm sorry, those answers coming, folks. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Wisconsin city, excluding the one you live in? So far, I would say Bayfield and, was it Sister Bay?
Yeah.
And Sister Bay. Mine was Egg Harbor, because it's a little closer to civilization than Sister Bay. But they're all good. Door County, in general, probably going to get a lot of votes tonight. So keep those answers coming. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome back to Nightlight one of our favorites. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter. Check it out if you haven't. And he's also a Madison-based film critic. And he joins us now over the stream, our pal Rob Thomas. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Hey, how was your vacation?
It was mostly great. We went to New York City.
Yeah.
For the Memorial Day long weekend. I was the victim of a crime, which is that
what?
I was scammed on tickets to see Othello with Denzel Washington, which was like the whole point of the trip or our main thrust. It's my own fault. I waited till the last minute, was looking for deals on StubHub.
Oh, man.
Got a nice one, went to the theater, and the guy was like, yeah, those seats don't exist. That's not real. And luckily StubHub was on it. They gave us a full refund. But it was sold out.
Wow.
So we were out of luck on theater, but, you know, we found a bar, we found a bookstore, we had a perfectly great time. So next time Denzel Washington does Othello, we'll be sure to be there.
You did what any good Wisconsinite would do as a backup option, and find a bar.
It's always a plan B, if not a plan A.
All right. If Denzel wasn't in Othello, the bar probably would have been the first option. But
exactly, yeah.
I can't even imagine seeing him on stage. That must be something. So I'm sorry that happened to you.
We'll have to imagine it, I guess.
Yeah. It looks like you had a nice yoga workout there too, Rob. I saw one of your posts.
I went to Peloton. I'm in the Peloton.
Oh, Peloton.
Cult.
That's right.
I'll say it up front. And the spinning class, the bikes. And I've been, since the pandemic, I've been pretty avid. And I went to, they have the studio where they live stream the classes to like all the members. And so I got in and was, you know, pedaling away.
Wow.
And you could see like mostly my head was cut off on the stream, but you could kind of see me. And I sent a video to my kids and they were suitably embarrassed,
mission
which is really the whole point, right?
Yeah. I have to ask you, as a guy who saw those commercials over and over, it's an exercise bike. What is it about Peloton? Is it because there's someone kind of steering the ship in a Peloton headquarter location? Is it that's so special about Peloton?
I think that's the big one. It's like it's sort of halfway between just like messing around at home on a, you know, an elliptical and like actually going to the gym, because they have set classes at a certain time, or they have a bunch on demand as well. But it's just enough of a motivation to get you in the seat. And also, like, you know, you have other people you sort of friend and high five virtually. And
nice.
So it's a very, you know, my wife is a big gym goer, so she loves the in-person experience, but I like to stay home, and this gives me what part of that I need, I guess.
That's excellent. You know what I remember from the Peloton ads during during COVID, where, and this is, shows you where my brain was at during COVID and how little I was working out. All I remember thinking was, that Peloton girl is more attractive than the other Peloton girl. How sad is that, Rob?
They're all in excellent shape.
Yeah, that's true. They're all in better shape than me.
That's
I have to, okay, before, I want to ask you about some movies, but before we start, mm-hmm. did we talk Severance last time?
Yes, although okay. I think we weren't that far into it. We just, like, my wife and I just finished season one, and we're taking a little breather okay. because the rest of the world had to wait, what, 3 years before season two, so we don't right. want to jump right into it. And I loved it the whole way through, and she very slowly came around and was very into it by the end.
That's kind of how I was. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about it. I felt like it was so slow and overly stylistic almost. And I know the story grew and then I got more into it, but I think it lost me a few times and I didn't go back and catch up. And I think that's my problem okay. because, and you know, rarely do I do this, but there's so much hype around the show. I feel like I have to go back and watch the whole damn first season over again.
Yeah, it's pretty dense, I guess. I haven't, like I said, I haven't watched season two yet, so I don't know. But I can't, like, I can't imagine a 3-year cliffhanger like that after the end of the first season. Right. But honestly, I just kind of enjoyed the vibe of, like, I didn't need that much story. Like, I thought it was very funny, like, sort of the satire of the workplace and mm-hmm. the melon party and the middle management, all that stuff I thought was yeah. really interesting and funny, and the relationships between the characters. And I didn't need too much of the, I guess, the conspiracy part of it, of what's, like, what's going on.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Seems maybe, like a pretty good place to work. I don't know.
And this, is from a, me, but... this is from a guy who likes his gig, too.
That's right.
all right. So let's jump into some movies, Rob. You wrote about Jane Austen Wrecked My Life. This is interesting to me. I haven't seen it. I've read about it. You said you were calling it lit. I assume that right. means you liked it. I thought your review was really well written. Tell us about the film.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I liked it well enough. It's a very kind of quirky, low, let's say low energy, but just sort of take on the rom-com. It's a French and English. It's in French and English, and it's about this woman in Paris who works in a bookshop, famous bookshop, Shakespeare and Company, who's sort of a wallflower. Writes in secret but never shows anybody, and her best friend sends it to this Jane Austen residency, like this where writers go with this beautiful country house and write for 2 weeks. And so she goes and kind of gets out of her comfort zone, but there's, like, it's just so quirky. Like, I think I wrote, like, my lead was, like, you know, not a lot of rom-coms have the heroine fantasizing about slow dancing with the naked man in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, that was just so odd that I was like, okay, that's not, Bridget Jones never did that. So it was like, there's a little low key is probably the word I would use. And it's a little more low key than maybe it should be,
okay.
But it's interesting. Yeah. It's an indie, so it's in some theaters now, probably be on streaming pretty soon.
Okay. I thought something was, this was really funny, Rob. You made a joke about one of the main characters pulling out her typewriter and writing in the movie, and that they never do this in movies about writing. Writing is not very exciting to watch, is it?
No, it's not very cinematic. Yeah, right.
So it's a keeper though. Thumbs up.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think if you think like, oh, I might like that kind of movie, you'll like that kind of movie. Yeah.
I think I would like that movie because of another line in your review that I really liked. You said it may be a little too muted for traditional rom-com fans, and a little light on Austen for Jane Austen fans. That's a great
right,
line.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll put that in the category of to see. I did not read this review, but I saw that you wrote about The New Boy starring Cate Blanchett. Tell us about The New Boy.
That's a very, like, I think it's on streaming. I don't think it played in theaters even in Madison. Usually, like, it's a new Cate Blanchett movie. You'd think it would play fairly big.
Yeah. I didn't even hear
but
of
it's
it.
Like her, so she's Australian, which I keep forgetting. But that's like her first Australian movie in, like, I think, like 20 years. I was looking at her IMDb. And it's she plays a nun in very rural Australia in, it looks like the 30s or 40s. And there was this kind of very shameful thing which happened in a lot of colonial cultures where they would basically kidnap kids and convert them to Christianity and, you know, and sort of rub out the old culture. And they snap up this one 9-year-old boy who just, you know, resists and apparently has some sort of like supernatural abilities, I guess I would say, like healing abilities. And so it's kind of like the war of wills between the two of them. And it's like an unbelievably beautiful movie. Like it, like every shot is like a painting.
Huh.
So if you like Cate Blanchett and you were, you know, we just saw her in Black Bag, which is one of my favorites of the year. This is a completely different role for her playing a nun. But I do recommend it.
That's a great segue actually, because we might have touched on Black. I don't think you had seen Black Bag actually last
Maybe
time.
Maybe not. It took a little while before I saw it in theaters.
Same here. And I think you saw it very shortly after I did, but you kind of did a deep dive in your article on your Substack. And by the way, check out Rob's Substack, not that Rob Thomas Substack. He does great work there. So your entire article, I equated it to, you talk about the Blu-ray extras. Your article was like a Blu-ray extra. You had some great stuff in there about just the creation of the film and what David Koepp. Talk a little bit about David Koepp and where he's the screenwriter, where his inspiration came to write this movie when he was working on another project. I found that really interesting.
So David Koepp, UW-Madison graduate, has come to the film festival a couple of times with his movies. He wrote the first Mission Impossible back in 1996. He's a big-time screenwriter. Okay. He also wrote Jurassic Park and has written the new one that's coming in the summer. But he was talking to CIA guys, and like they were telling him about, you know, their job as much as they could about their jobs, and like, and he was like, okay, but what's it like to be married when you're a CIA agent, when you spend your entire day lying and then you go home to your husband and wife, and you know there must be a lot of infidelity going on there because you're all really good at lying,
right?
And this, and so he's been working on this movie, the screenplay, for I guess ever since 20-30 years, and it's a British spy, I would say thriller, although there's very little action. It's all dialogue and sort of, you know, tension. And as Michael Fassbender is trying to figure out who in his team is a traitor, and his wife, who's played by Cate Blanchett, is one of the suspects. I thought it was great. It might be that in Sinners, and this other movie I saw last night is a sneak preview called The Life of Chuck. I think those are all vying for my favorites of the year so far.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're right. And it wasn't a complaint. I was expecting a little more action in Black Bag.
Sure.
But there is a scene where a drone, it's really cool the way it's shot too. It bird dogs this van and blows it up. And it was like, whoa. Like that kind of came out of nowhere because a lot of it is dialogue. And you talk about in the film how, you know, them sitting around the table talking about their private lives is almost more interesting than them talking about the office, even though they work, they're spies, you know? So I thought that was really cool too.
Yeah. It's really interesting. There's like two dinner party scenes, one at the beginning, one at the end. And, I loved it. I can't wait to see it again.
Do you think you can beat a polygraph test?
Well, I learned a good tip from the movie. I won't spoil it, but I think I would need to practice beforehand.
I would be so scared. I think I would wet myself if I had to take a polygraph test.
That might be a giveaway if you wet yourself.
That screams guilty conscience? Is that
what you're saying? Maybe. I don't know.
Great point. All right. Rob Thomas is my guest. He's the editor for the CityCast Madison newsletter. Check it out. And a Madison-based film critic. We will come back and talk more movies and some toxic traits of Madison. That'll be an interesting conversation with Rob. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise, without my pride, I reach out for me.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is Pollinator Month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The Ecosystem Mission Area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got you.
You got Nightlight with Peach Wabba on a Tuesday night here. We are broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay after another lovely and successful run doing the show from our state's capital, Madison, Wisconsin, which is not on this list. I find that strange. I'm not going to lie. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is the editor for the CityCast Madison newsletter and a Madison-based film critic and a proud Madisonian. Rob, when places put out these lists, what is going on? Like a couple years ago, Green Bay was the number one place to live in America, and it's a lovely town. Here, on this list, U.S. News and World Report, it's 170th. Madison is not on this list. It's the top 250 cities, supposedly.
Wow.
Madison has been the number one place to live, according to Forbes and various other publications, multiple years in a row, and it's not even on the list. What do you think?
I think Madison has. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I think Madison has a housing problem, so they're trying to tell people not to go, not to come, quite frankly.
The restaurants are too crowded.
Don't tell people we're so great. I think that's what it is.
Oh, I wonder, because they're all over the place, these lists. I feel like something's going on here. You know, how much to put you on the list? I mean, Des Plaines, Illinois was on the list.
I've been to Des Plaines. It's not bad. Yeah.
It's fine. But come on. Top 250? Give me a break.
Kind of French.
Yeah, exactly. It's worldly. Rob, do you have a favorite city in Wisconsin that is not Madison, Wisconsin? That's our question of the night. I'm just curious where you would fall in that.
That's a good question. I mean, I would say Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a great city. Yeah. If you're talking small towns, probably Spring Green.
That's a
great little town. So much less to do there and very close to Madison.
A couple people have mentioned Spring Green. Sure.
Yeah.
That's great. Before we move off of Black Bag, I read in your article too that and I was surprised by this too, the two flat where Michael Fassbender and Kate Blanchett lived was a set you wrote. Where was that filmed? Do you know?
I think it was London, but okay. They just built a set inside a studio. And like, yeah, it blew my mind. Cause when I saw that movie, I was sure that was like, what, how much that cost?
There's
real estate for this beautiful two-story apartment. And there's a street out front. All fake, all built in a studio,
oh,
I guess,
so
they could shoot wherever they wanted to and not damage it. But movie magic.
I'm telling you, I always love when they film on location, but sometimes a set, you're right, can be so magical. It just makes you want to move there. Like, I remember seeing pictures of Rear Window and how they set that jib, like that camera coming over the whole courtyard to film stuff.
Yeah.
And that was just... it's really spectacular when you see those things. The last thing is Soderbergh did his own camera work? I didn't know that.
I think he always does that. Like he, under maybe an alias, he always does the camera work. He does the editing. So like you're watching the making of, and usually the director is like way in the back watching what's being shot on a monitor. He's right up in their faces with the camera, with the actors. And it seems like a very different process. He's a lot more intimate and maybe, I think, gets the actors very engaged when the director's like literally right in their face holding a camera. Yeah.
Great point. Before we get to Toxic Traits of Madison, which I loved reading that, what did you think of Mission Impossible? To me, this is like the biggest film for adults probably all summer. And it opened well. It was dwarfed by Lilo and Stitch, but that was kind of expected. What was your take on Mission Impossible?
Well, I love those movies. Like, I love the last, I think only two was like the last one where I was like, that wasn't so good.
Right.
And I think I said, this is like a 3-star movie in a 4-star series. You know, it's good.
Okay.
Held my attention, you know, incredible sequences towards the end. But a lot of exposition, especially in the first half, a lot of backstory, a lot of flashbacks. It takes a long time for my mind to start getting fun and sort, you know, kind of that Mission Impossible fun with like, you know, the intrigue and the suspense and kind of the trickery and stuff like that. Like the moment I really locked in was when, speaking of Severance, when Tramiel Tillman, who plays Milchek, I think, on the show.
Yeah.
He's the sub commander, and he is so funny in Mission Impossible. Like every line is hilarious.
That's the guy from Severance?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I loved that guy. I thought he was gonna be the president's son or something, but then that's so great. I never put that together. Yeah, he was very funny.
Just every line he just like made a meal out of. And that was kind of okay, this is gonna be fun. And from then on, and that was probably midway through the movie.
Yeah,
I was really enjoying it. So, you know, I think they kind of pushed it as far as they can go, and maybe a little too far, too big. Yeah.
The only argument I can make, and it's not a good one, because I've talked about this film now with Ben Reiser. I think Matt Miller and I discussed it, and no one seems to like that sort of recap. But and I didn't love it. But with 8 movies over 30 years, and most of us don't have time to go back and watch every movie. I watched part of 7 and part of 3.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, I didn't think it needed to be that long, but I thought for what it was okay. But you're right. It wasn't like when the movie gets going, it gets going.
Yeah. And I agree. It was okay. It was engaging. I thought the way they brought 3 in was pretty interesting, but I think too often it brought stuff in and then it didn't really pay off.
Correct.
In a way, like the Shea Whigham character, we find out but that doesn't really pay off, right? Like it does not, you know.
It was so unnecessary, I thought. I'm like, he doesn't need to be related to, you know, John Voight. Yeah. And I love Shea Whigham, but come on.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you're going to spend time at the beginning to set that up, then have it pay off later on. And a lot too often, many of those things didn't, I thought.
No, that's a great point. Do you have a, now that you've seen all eight, how would you, give me your top three, Rob?
Ooh, that's a toughie. Yeah. Fallout is my favorite.
Is that five?
That's six. That's the
six.
One.
Okay.
Where he broke his ankle in Paris.
Yes.
And like, after I saw Final Reckoning, I was like, it was okay. Maybe these movies are a little overrated. And then I watched a 2-minute clip of him running across rooftops. And I was like, oh no, these are the best movies ever made. This is incredible. Right. I probably would go six and then five.
Okay.
Rogue Nation, the one where he's hanging on the side of the plane. And then
hold
four,
on, hold or... that thought. Hold that thought. We okay. will get okay. Rob Thomas's favorite Mission Impossible movie after the news, and we're going to talk about toxic traits in Madison. It's time for intermission, folks. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Strange bedfellows, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, finding himself agreeing with Elon Musk, the former head of Doge, calling the president's big, beautiful bill a, quote, disgusting abomination.
If even Elon Musk, who's been part of the whole process and is Trump's buddy, says the bill is bad, you can imagine how bad this bill is.
Schumer opposes the bill's budget cuts. Musk opposes the bill's increased spending. The White House sending Congress the first request to codify the Doge budget cuts, which would claw back over $9 billion in already approved spending. The president signing an executive order raising the tariffs on steel and aluminum imports to 50%. U.S. officials saying the wife and children of the suspect in the Colorado firebombing attack are now in ICE custody and said to be removed from the country. Israeli forces firing on people headed toward an aid distribution center in Gaza today. At least 27 people killed. This is ABC News.